What do you think it means to be a person?
I don't know.
Me either. Really. Say scratch that again.
Scratch that a fan.
I'm Caitlin Metz, a non-binary illustrator and designer.
I'm Rebecca Tossig, a disabled storyteller and writer.
And this is Scratch That, Parenting and Reparenting Off Script.
A podcast for people trying to parent and person at the same time.
Head over to our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast, for show notes and a transcript of today's episode, and also to join the conversation.
Thank you for being here. Hi, friend.
Happiest of Mondays.
I guess I'm a little flustered with excitement because we actually have like the most exciting announcement that's ever happened in the history of this podcast is happening today.
Do we just say it? How do we say it?
Yes. What is the most exciting news ever, Caitlin?
The most exciting news ever is that after much hemming and hawing and back and forthing, I'm growing a person in my body.
It's happening right now.
It is happening right now. As we record this, I am 13 weeks and 5 days. As this is airing, I'll be like 16 weeks. I don't know. It's a second child. I don't know all the stuff.
I realize I pitched this as the most exciting news in the history of this podcast, but I actually imagine that for you, it's many things exciting among many emotions that you're feeling. Like, this has been a journey. How are you feeling today?
Today, I'm feeling pretty okay. The last week, it has started to feel realer. Realer in, I feel like I've been letting myself be hopeful and excited in the last week, which is feeling really good. I found out when I was like 4 weeks pregnant, like immediately. And so I feel like I've been pregnant for a really, really, really long time. And it has been rocky. March was one of the rockiest months ever. It's feeling better. It feels different than with Charlie for like innumerable reasons, like the political climate, the like context of the world that we live in. Yeah, everything feels completely different this time. And it's just like a second kid. So then I feel different too. I've been way more depressy than I expected to be, which I think maybe I was last time. People that I've talked to is like, yeah, you felt this miserable last time too. And
in a way that feels like connected to your pregnancy or just a general malaise, like what has that felt like?
That's such a good question because it's like kind of hard for me to separate them.
Yeah.
I think just I feel like I've just not been feeling good. I haven't been keeping up. And then that makes me feel panicked and unworthy and sure that everyone hates me. And then I start to get depressed and then I start to freeze and then I'm really letting everyone down. And so that spirals around. Also, the world is like really, really scary right now. And I've been trying to stay informed, which is not always great for my mental health.
Can you speak more about what in particular is like feeling scary or pressing or urgent about this particular climate? Because I think there are lots of forms of that for lots of people right now. It can take a lot of different shapes. But what is it specifically for you? What are the things that make you feel afraid or...
Oh my God. It's so many things. And I think it just keeps shifting. A few weeks ago, I was like watching some stuff about how trans youth are being treated and targeted. And that feels scary and upsetting to me on its own. And then I started spiraling about like watching government potentially trying to take trans children away from their parents. And I was like, it's not that big of a leap to think that someone might try and take kids away from a queer parent. And so I spiraled really, really hard about that. And also had to like pull myself back and be like, and also I can move through the world presenting cis straightish. And I have a lot of like privileges in that tension of looking at what's happening in the world and what I think is not that far of a leap of like horrible shit that could happen. And also being like, in this moment, I'm safe and my house is safe and my kid and kids are safe. And my holding both of those things at once has felt really, really hard. And then sometimes like disgusting to be like, I'm actually, everything is fucking fine for me. And it's everyone, like there's all these other people that are harmed. I'm like, this harm probably won't even come to me. And that feels really gross. And also that maybe is not true. And so that part has all felt like so tangled. I just allowed myself to download a pregnancy app, which I'd had last time. I'd been feeling really scared to have like a period tracker or like any kind of thing that had my information about my fertility. But now that I'm this far along, I was like, I don't know. The other thing that feels hard right now, this is a tangle. The thing that feels hard is I'm like, am I being a tin hat? Am I like being like crazy alarmist, or am I like not terrified or prepping enough? I'm like, do I need to be like stocking up on toilet paper and prescriptions? And like, or do I need to just like take a deep breath and look at the clouds and maybe a little of both?
Yeah.
So that uncertainty feels scary and hard. And then, so that's like globally big picture. And then right after we got pregnant, like the landscape of the work that I was doing shifted and my income shifted. And so that's felt really scary. And having a resurgence of all the panic around, am I adult? Am I worthy? Should I be doing this? Is this irresponsible? Oh, it's just a tangle. And also being like so delighted, so excited. Charlie's obsessed. Andrew and I are thrilled. Like tossing around names and just imagining our world with tiny baby. This past weekend, we were visiting Andrew's sister, whose baby just turned a year old. And watching Charlie with this little one-year-old baby felt really special. Yeah, so it's like so tangled. It's tangled in gender. It's tangled in just my mental health and how all of these changing hormones affect my brain.
Yeah.
And then it's like just finances and like this internalized classism that I have and all of it at the same time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It makes so much sense that there would be like 6,000 layers of feelings that are all stacked on top of each other. Because it's such a big life shift and there's so much mystery still behind it and we don't know about the future. And there's so much love, which means risk, you know, like there's so much there. I think, sorry to like jump back a little bit, but thinking about just the like the particular set of concerns that you have given the world that we're in and the government that we have. I think it's really helpful for us, for all of us to hear the specific notes of that, both in the ways for people who share that and then for people who don't. Because I think like one thing you shared really early on was about the pride flag and that like in front of your house and like the genuine question that you had of whether or not you should keep that up, considering, you know, the fears that you have about what that will mean to the people around you and even the possibility of your kids being more at risk because of something like that. And like you're having to calculate that in a way that not everyone is. And I think hearing you name that out loud was really helpful for me, in just knowing how this world affects you and your family distinctly. I think one of the things that has felt really important and true to me since becoming a parent is recognizing the ways that this experience is not the same for all of us. I think before becoming a parent, it felt, or maybe it was more like in the early days of parenting, I found myself experiencing things that felt really particular to me as a disabled parent and trying to vocalize them out loud and having them be sort of like dismissed or swept away somehow, or like blurred into this haze of like all parents feel that or all parents experience that. And it felt really important to me to like insist there are ways that this experience is different for us. We do not all experience this the same way. And so I guess it means a lot to be able to, that you would share that the ways that this is distinct. I mean, I'm like the same as some people and distinct from other people, right? It's just sort of like naming aloud the particularities of the set of concerns that you have as a parent in your body, in your world. So I don't know if there's a question in there as much as saying, like, I think that's important that we name those things for each other. So that those of us who are carrying that in our bodies and those of us who aren't can witness that together.
Yeah, because I think there's like so much common ground that can be found. But when you just like brush it all as one thing instead of like listening to one person's individual story is so, there's one thing to like empathize and connect and another to be like, yeah, everyone feels that way. Which is so dismissive.
Yeah. I heard so many things, so many, like all moms worry about X, Y, or Z. Like for me, it was, it reminds me a little bit about what you're saying of like, it's not a far leap to imagine a world in which queer parents or non-binary parents are like separated from their children. For me, when, Otto was a little baby, I found out about, the number of parents with disabilities who lose custody of their kids for like no reason other than having a disability. And even as I could tell myself, like, this is probably not going to happen to you. You have all of these privileges that sort of protect you from that happening to you. And also, it's horrifying that it happens to anyone. And also that lives in me still when we are out in public and people are perceiving us. And so that is not something that everyone, not every parent has that, or we have that, but from different angles or different in different ways.
Yeah. And the choice, something that I feels dramatic to say it now, but like a month ago, I was like, I have to choose to keep my kids safe or to be visibly queer. Like, I have to choose that. I have to, and this was like the story that I was telling myself. I was like, I have to grow my hair out. I have to wear different clothes. I have to move through the world differently with Andrew to keep my kids safe. And then I was like, oh, but then I will start dying inside, which is like the worst thing for my children, is for me to not be able to show up for them. You know, but like there was this moment where those things felt like it was one or the other. It was like, I love and protect my kids, or I'm visibly queer. And it's like, okay, that there is a lot of space in there, but that was the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've identified a lot when you have talked, obviously from a completely different landscape, but we've talked multiple times on here about that fear that you have of being visibly disabled and worrying of your kid being taken away from you. And there's nothing more horrifying than that fear. And I'm just thinking of all the people who are like being deported and torn apart and how fucking terrifying it is to be a person, but particularly to be a parent right now, and how many friends I have who have trans kids who are trying to make impossible decisions about their safety and where to live and how to protect their kids and get them like the basic healthcare that they need. And it is all just so much to hold. It's so much.
Yeah. And I think also what you were saying a little bit ago about that, like how to hold that fear and not being sure how much to let that impact your decisions, of like, wanting to be responsible and realistic and not wanting fear to just like shape everything. Because it could, you know, I mean, it could. And how do you weigh that? And how do you chart that path of being responsible and also open and full and a whole human who isn't driven and shaped by fear? In some ways, I do think that lots of parents are having to wrestle with that tension in a lot of different ways. And this is a very particular one to you and your family and other families that is distinct.
Interrupting this episode to say thank you to everyone supporting the podcast on Patreon.
We love seeing your comments come through. We love getting to know each of you better. Like, you being there really means the world to us.
If you want to support the project financially, you can become a paying patron for as low as $5 a month. That's less than a latte.
But there's lots of free ways to support the podcast too. Sharing episodes, giving us one of those very pretty 5-star reviews, all of that makes a huge difference too.
And you can also join Patreon without paying. So the show notes will always be there for you. Okay, back to the show.
I am curious if you want to talk a little bit about how pregnancy, starting with Charlie, but maybe continuing in some version with this new little bean. Do we like calling the baby a bean? I don't know.
That's what we called Charlie. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Maybe that's where I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the question is, I think that pregnancy, the first time around, was like a big part of your journey and even understanding your own body, your relationship to gender. Do you want to talk a little bit about that part of the story, especially in light of thinking about like the ways that this has been distinct to you in your life and your arc?
Yeah, pregnancy is so directly connected to gender for me. I was bred for this in the most literal ways that you can imagine. I started caring for children at 7, 8, 9 at church. Had my first like babysitting job when I was like 9 or 10. By the time I was like 12 or 14, I was nannying for a family with quintuplets. I have been caregiving for children my entire life. And I have known that there was a very particular image of who I was supposed to get married and you're supposed to have children and lots of children and your body and everything is supposed to look a certain way. And I love kids. I love taking care of them. I have a lot of feelings and do a lot of like reading and thinking about child development and nurturing little humans. So that's a thing that I like distinctly love. And also, I did not want all of the things that I was told I was supposed to be. And for a really long time, I was like, I'm not going to have children. I will just like, I'll be the aunt. I will be the caregiver. And I was for a long time. All that to say, I really carefully built my life around not being this one thing that I was told to be that was supposed to go in one specific direction. And so when I decided to get pregnant with Charlie, when we made that decision, it was really jarring to watch my body start taking on the form that I was told it was supposed to be. And it was just so undeniably female, the way that I was spoken to, the complete erasure of identity, how suddenly I would walk in a room and everyone was calling me mama and mommy. And I was like just newly pregnant. And I had to like put in my chart at the birth center I was going to that like, my name is Caitlin. And unless you have come from my vagina, you don't call me mama or mommy or, you know.
Unless you've come from my vagina.
Well, it was just like, do not call me that. Do not call me that. And I was like, if anyone
I had that put in there because I was like, if when I am in labor and someone starts speaking to me as though I am, I felt so much erasure when I was newly married, which was another fraught time in my life. I got a card addressed to Mrs. Andrew Gilliland. And I had such an incredible panic attack holding that and just feeling entirely erased.
Yeah.
I didn't even change my name. That was not my last name. And I'm not Mrs. someone else. So that feeling, I was having a really similar feeling to that when I was pregnant and just feeling complete, like I didn't matter. I was invisible. It was all about the baby, the fetus, this little embryo. We were not two distinct beings, and I wasn't like an equal part of the equation. It was like I was this vessel to carry this thing, which was how I felt in a lot of spaces. And also, I was just watching my body morph in front of me in ways that was really activating. And I was experiencing gender dysphoria in ways that I had not before. And it's so interesting. I think we talked about this in the Start Where You Are course episode, where it's like, until you have space, it's hard to see how all of the dots connect. But I started looking back at the work I was doing in grad school, and I just kept trying to understand how a woman was defined. I was like trying to understand gender and sexuality. And I was like, what is it that makes this thing this and this thing that? And it was, I just kept circling around and around and around it, trying to understand how societally or biology or culturally, historically, we define these genders. And I often really equated that with sexuality, but I started understanding that those are like two distinctly different pieces. Gender and sexuality were really different things for me. All of that to say that through the process of pregnancy and then that first, Charlie's first year, I was like, I don't identify with any of these like cultural or social identifiers or definitions of woman. It doesn't fit. It doesn't feel good in my body. And so I started trying on they, them pronouns with people who are close to me and like talking this out. And then like the big moment was coming out to Andrew's parents, because they were such distinct figures in our lives and such a close part of us raising Charlie. They were really, really involved.
So you're experiencing like an intensifying of feelings that maybe were already there before, of like feeling one way and having society categorize you in another way. Can you describe what it felt like to you to start trying on they, them pronouns? Like, what did these shifts mean to you, and how did they feel?
It just felt like a warm hug. Like, it felt right. It felt so I felt seen. It felt like I was being seen outside of what I was told I was supposed to be. I felt like I was trying so hard to define woman as a thing that felt good in my body. And when I start like just release that, I was like, I don't need to like remake the concept of woman so that it fits me. I could just be like, I exist outside of this, or it doesn't. And so much of this is like constructed. It's like all made up in the world. Like I think about how I look and present because it feels good to me, but it feels good to me in context of like the images I've been shown and the things I do or don't want to be associated with. So it's like so muddled. It's like,
Yeah. And it's weird because it's like, it's made up. It's, and also it's like really tangible. It's really like in your face in the real world. Even just the moment of someone calling you, like looking at you and calling you mama or mommy, is real. That's real. So you feel the talons of that. And also,
yeah,
it's a figment. It's a story, which is air, you know, like can be blown in another direction.
And it's all so based on these, the layers of other stories. I talked to a friend about this, who had a very different story of coming to parenthood. They ended up adopting, and the moment they like got, I'm maybe botching the story. Also, she listens. Hi, Kelly. So this is the story as I remember it. May not be accurate. But like when they were handed the like adoption papers or something was formalized, the person doing it called them mom and dad. And she was saying how affirming that felt to her. And this comes back to a moment of just like not presuming, just like asking people what feels good. Because I think for some people, that identity coming to the forefront could be really affirming. And for me, the way that that identity had been presented to me is that it eclipses all others and you cease to be yourself. And it is your, you know, there's your life before you have kids and then it is after you have kids. And after you have kids, your identity is mother, the end, full stop. And there's been a lot of like subjugation in that and children being used as a way to control and women and to like make them more passive. And anyways, it's, so I don't think that there's one way. I think it's so contextual and it's so specific to each person. And I think this is why we just need to not assume and we should ask more questions.
Yeah. It's like the, yeah, it's interesting because you're pointing out there's like these broad social cultural stories, but there's also like a world of personal, individual, tender, close to our heart stories. And then there's the collision of those two things and a universe of meaning between those two things. And sometimes they're very aligned and sometimes they're like, there's like war in between them. And just that practice of like, this could mean anything to you. I mean, I'm even thinking about that with the way that I presented this episode of like the most exciting news, right? And that's a narrative. And that's like a, I mean, I think I know a little bit about your story with this and how it feels, but also it's like, it's, that's such a one note way of framing something and just honoring the complexity that all of this is. For each family, each person. I've been thinking about that so much lately with even like asking people like, how did you decide to have another baby? It's like a very personal question to people. Or how did you decide to stop? It's a very personal question to people. There's so many societal expectations around that just that part of it and personal stories within us. So,
well, this comes back to what I feel like you were saying in the beginning is that like it feels like so much erasure to presume that because you're having an experience, everyone else had it, or just because someone has a similar experience that they're the same, and not listening to your distinct experience and letting that be true and its own thing.
I think a lot of times we don't even realize that we have that as an option. Like, I think that a lot about the stories that we have in the world about some of these life experiences is that there's a lot of like, I should feel this or I'm supposed to feel this. And being in a space where none of that is assumed can be an invitation to like unfurl a little bit and name some of the layers. Like, it could be lots of things at the same time. So, Charlie. Pregnancy kind of pushed you to the edge of confronting something in a different way, something that maybe had been in you for a long time, but sort of like look like really being pressed to expand pronouns, expand. And I feel like I took you away from the moment when you shared that with Andrew's parents.
I think that just felt like the culmination. It felt like the scariest thing in the world to do. But that was like the culmination. That was like the moment. I was like, I am out. This is what is true. I cannot unring this bell with these people. Because they mean so much to me and they're so integral to our lives and feel so, yeah. It's like I think there's moments when there's like one person that you have to like tell or show up as yourself to. And when that goes okay, it's like, all right, well, like nothing else could fucking hurt me. Or maybe vice versa. Maybe if it had gone terribly, then I also would have felt just like whatever. But it did not go terribly. It went great. And that was just it. Then there was like no looking back. That was just like the end. This is who I am. Another piece of that, as we were talking about, like, so the thing I've been grappling with this pregnancy and just the state of the world, and you brought up the pride flag, like right after, well, the morning after the election, Andrew and I were both feeling a lot of like fear and rage, and Andrew suggested the idea of taking the flag down because he was feeling scared, and we did not. I was like, no, I'll put 10 more up. But now being pregnant and there is fear, there's unsettlement in that moment where I was like, I have to choose to be myself and take up space in the world, or I have to choose the safety of my kids. But then I was like, oh, wait, actually, no, because like one of the thing that made me brave to like come out to Andrew's parents, to like talk about this, to be like, this is who I am, is because I cannot raise a kid and not be my, like, if I am not steady and whole in myself, I cannot be there for him. I cannot guide him. I cannot suggest bravery or gumption or grit. If I am a shell of myself, if I am suffering so much of the work of being a parent, to me, in my opinion, a deep belief I have is caring for myself and being whole and being steady. So much of the work that I do to care for Charlie is caring for me so that then I can be present and kind and generous for him. And so with this pregnancy, there's like fear, there is like residual terror. And also I know that like if I am not just being the most myself and showing up in the world in the ways that I want and living out the like being in line with integrity, that my insides and my outsides are aligned, I don't want to parent any other way, you know? And unless I'm actually in like direct imminent danger, in which I might make a different decision to like literally protect their life, but this like hypothetical protection of them, I think the most protective thing I could do for my kid is to be embodied.
Yeah. And some of that is just like you nurturing the best version of you, maybe, or like that part of it. And part of it, I think, is also simply the modeling. I think so much, and I think a big shift for me as a parent has been shifting from what I say and tell my kid to what I show him every day. And that's incredibly powerful to think about what you show these two little people every day that you show up to the world, what you're modeling for them, and the ways that permeates their little selves, their little ecosystems, their what they piece together about the world and about who they are and who their parents are in the world is like, that's the stuff that goes beyond language. That's incredibly powerful and scary and a responsibility, but like a really important one, I think. That really resonates with me about what you show them, about how you show up to the world and what that looks like inside your little home and what that looks like out in the great wide world and the alignment of those two things. I think that's huge. So it sounds like, for this second pregnancy, part of what feels different is the state of the world. How does it compare to the first? So if your first pregnancy with Charlie was sort of this revelation to you, and then you had that revelation and you've lived out that revelation since Charlie was born, what does the second pregnancy feel like by comparison? You're starting from a different place.
Yeah, completely different place. I don't know that I know the answer to that. Something that feels really exciting is knowing how transformative having Charlie was in a million different ways. And I can't imagine that this one won't also be that way for me, in completely different ways. But I don't know yet. Well, okay. One thing that has in the last couple years become really clear to me that we've talked about a lot is ADHD and just understanding that I do not have a neurotypical brain. And the way that that has coalesced, or like that in combination with parenthood and how parenthood has exacerbated, or like it's just stripped away any idea that I had that I was like actually doing okay, like my little like duck paddle under the water. I have like so much less capacity to be like frantically duck paddling to present fine or to like keep up. And so I think I anticipate, and the thing that I am really trying to work on right now is understanding my brain and to stop fighting it and to build structures and capacity and the supports that I need. So hopefully it's not as hard in those ways. So this one feels, if the first kid was a revelation of gender, this second one feels like a revelation of neurospiciness or self-acceptance in the ways that my brain functions. But I don't know like what all that will evolve to. And it all still also feels like wildly tied up in gender, and figuring out how to dress this body and move through the world, and the terror and panic that everyone's going to see me differently. And like one kid is okay, but two kids makes me like capital M mom or something. So like those fears have been coming up, and my depression, the like darkness has been darker than I thought it was going to be at this stage, which feels scary, because it was really, really dark last time. The postpartum depression was really bad. And I have other supports, and I know more things, and that part still feels really scary to me. And part of me feels like a little bit embarrassed that I, or like ashamed that I got pregnant again when I know that my brain can be such an asshole. Yeah, I think some of the depression and darkness that I've been experiencing is just feeling like unsure that I should have done this, given what I know about myself, which was like a consideration from the beginning. And we decided that it was like worth the risk and that that we would figure it out. But that part has felt really scary. And I've been a little bit in the dark place. So yeah, it's just all the things the same fucking time.
I am really interested in the not knowing. And I really resonate with what you said about the first time around being really, I don't remember the word you used, if it was transformative or like the revelation, like changing you in ways that maybe you didn't expect. And I think that's one of the most terrifying, like stunning things about being a parent is the power that that person has to completely transform or change something in you. And the fact that you can't know what that's going to be is so scary and wonderful. As an outsider, I'm like, it's very easy for me to say like, this is going to be so awesome, you know, like this is going to be so good. But what I don't have to calculate is like the hard of that too. You know, I know that that can be hard as well, but I think it's, when I look back and see the ways that Otto has already changed me, it's all like some of the most awesome stuff that I've ever experienced in my life too. Awesome as in like, oh, what is this? yeah, and just like the wonder of a whole person that is going to be such an inextricable part of you, and to meet that person, just I'm just feeling that as a witness to it all. Just the immense wonder of that. And of course, it makes sense that so much of that would also lead to doubt and fear and of course. It's too big not to. I remember when we had one of our earliest episodes was like, should I have another baby or not? And I'm reminded a lot of the things that like you've named today are similar to the things you named then. You have an awareness and you have tools. I think that makes a difference.
Fucking hope so. I'm betting on it. Betting a whole life on it.
So what this means is that we have countless follow-up conversations to have.
So many. And the amount of brain space it has taken me to not reference the pregnancy. And so I, like, there's so much ease just naming this. And it's like, okay, thank fuck. I'm documenting this so much differently than last time, too. Like, I immediately made an Instagram account for Charlie. Everything was like, everything in the world feels different. And so that just didn't feel like the way that I wanted to go about it. But it does feel really weird because it is impacting every single area of my life. And so I feel a relief just like naming it. I've had this date in my head. I've known that I'm going to like talk about it publicly. Feels really special to say like, I am making a person in Pride Month and to, inhabit that space and let it be joyful. I'm really, I hope by the time this will air in a few weeks, I hope that it feels as joyful as I'm anticipating it will feel, that I'll allow myself that joy and excitement.
Yeah, I don't know how people wait. It feels like such a huge thing to be.
I mean, everyone in my life knew like immediately. There's no way. I mean, I couldn't get out of bed for like almost the first whole month. So everyone had to know. Thank God that was when you were taking your break and then I had spring break at school. And so somehow we muddled through. But I don't know how people don't tell in the first trimester. It's all hard, but it is so distinctly hard, but you're not showing. And so it's like a secret, but like it can't be a secret because it is so life altering for me that like my people have got to know, like people I'm working with, the people that I'm hanging out, like everyone just has to know because I shift so immediately.
I remember even just thinking about the fact that like, I remember when I was pregnant being like, how are pregnant people not talking about their pregnancy constantly? Like, how are they talking about anything else? Like I have witnessed so many pregnancies and I'm like, what, how was this not just like all your, like, it just felt so enormous for me every minute I was thinking about it. And to think that like, you know, there's all kinds of people out here just like holding that in their bodies and like sneaking off to vomit and then coming back. Like,
how
do we do this? How have so many people done this? I don't know.
Well, now you know. Now I will reference it all the time. I'll be inseparable. Thanks for joining this journey.
Woo! Woo! Do you want to tell people your due date so they can mark it on their calendars?
We're due the first week of November. So we have a little Scorpio coming. A fellow Scorpio, as am I. So, yeah.
And how do you feel about us linking your registry in the show notes?
Horrified and embarrassed, but you have the link to it and you're in charge of the show notes. So do with that as you will.
Okay. I feel like there are people listening right now that are having all kinds of feelings and the best outlet would be go to look at your registry and find ways to swaddle you up in care for what's ahead.
Well, that is very precious, and I'm going to – that is very precious. So thank you.
All right. Keep your eye out. Be on the lookout for that little link if you want to be a part of this community of care around this very special little being that's coming to be. Being that's coming to be. That's what I want to say. All right.
Okay. Bye. We love you.
Bye-bye.
You tell me when we're done, okay?
Done.
Woohoo!
This podcast is edited and perfected by the most beautiful wizard and my favorite dude, Micah Jones.
For all the show notes and a transcript of today's episode, check out our Patreon, Scratch That Podcast. This is our hub. It's where you can join the conversation and be part of our community.
If today's episode resonated with you or made you think of someone, share it.
And if you want to support the pod and also make us glow inside, go give a 5-star review on Apple. That would be so lovely.
Thank you for being here, for listening, for being a part of this community.
We love you so much.